I just knew by my breathing, I just something told me that this doesn't feel right, you know. And my temperature, I kept checking my temperature and it was rising and rising. And I just knew, and I thought to myself, even I don't even feel like I've got taste or smell. So I phoned for a test and I got the test within the hour. I was straight to Letterkenny. And then by the evening time, I had my results and I knew I didn't like the feeling of where this is going. I thought it's a Friday evening. I need to ring the doctor to see if they can give me something for over the weekend. So when the doctor called me, and the doctor didn't like the sound of me, and his quick reaction, thank God he did what he did. He said, look, Lisa, I'm just going to send you straight to the COVID hub. And I didn't even know what the COVID hub was. And he sent me straight up to the COVID hub. I was in Letterkenny, again within the hour. And the COVID hub, I was in there for maybe 10, 15 minutes and they were watching my breathing. They didn't even do anything. They just could see by my chest how fast that it was breathing. They just said, you know, we're sending you across the road for further investigations.
And no, so you were effectively triaged and admitted to hospital. And then that was the Friday and you got progressively worse in hospital till Monday, Tuesday then, wasn't it?
Yes, I barely remember anything from the Sunday, to be honest, Greg. I remember my son surprised us home from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was in hospital. I didn't know nothing about it. I remember them sending me a video of him coming to the front door of the house and them opening the door and my little 10-year-old Bobby seeing Keelan standing there and they were all crying. And that was my last memory, really. I just remember being so upset in the hospital and being so sick and just wanting to be home with them.
Oh my God.
Because I just wanted to share that moment as well.
And Lisa, did you feel like, I mean, I know everything's like a fog, but were you worried you weren't going to make it?
I think I said at one time to one of the nurses that I don't care what happens to me. I'm just that sick. I really don't care. I was nearly giving up on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I really was so sick. I was deteriorating so fast. But yeah, I don't have any memory of going into ICU. I do remember, and I have a feeling it might have been ICU, them sitting me down in a chair and then tell me that they did tape my wrist to the chair. And they had to like cut my wrist and put tubes in or whatever and stitch me up. And I remember saying to then I think it was anaesthetist, stitches, I've never had stitches in my life. You're going to stitch me? I couldn't believe that I was getting stitches because I used to always brag to everyone how I never had stitches. I had always this fear of getting stitches. And I remember that, but I don't remember anything after that then until waking up in the ICU.
And you were 5 days on the ventilator. And after we spoke to Amanda, like, your story had an impact on traffic levels in certain areas of the county. That's how it sort of brought things home to people. We were told that sort of off the record by people that be on these patrols. All of a sudden it became very real for a lot of people. And then, like, I was dozens of messages today. I don't know why people thought I would know how you were getting on, Lisa, but I think Amanda was keeping us a bit updated as well. But even just on my own Facebook page, every day, 10, 12, 15 messages, any update on Lisa? What's the story with Lisa? And that's just me, so I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what your mates and your family were going through. But people just wanted to know you were going to be okay. It was I haven't seen it too often, do you know? And it was just so organic and it was so real and just people cared so much.
I know. It just, that means so much to me. It just really does. It makes me smile so much to think that people cared that much. And I cannot believe that it was me, that it's me they're talking about, that it was me they were praying for, it was me they were thinking of. You know, it's just crazy.
And thinking on your lovely family as well too, because I think that also what made it feel real, because lots of people are young. You know, you're in your early 40s, you're young and you've a young family, and I think that can sort of resonate with people as well, and they can sort of go, you know, all people can, but I think you know where I'm coming from. So when you woke up in ICU, obviously, you know, being on a ventilator it's a serious situation. You know, they don't do it unless the alternative is you actually not surviving.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you feel when you woke up in ICU?
I was Well, I woke up on the Saturday. That was the 21st. It was actually my son Lee's 17th birthday. And the nurses, I don't remember much that day, to be honest. That night, the nurses said I had to get Colin Lee to wish him a happy birthday. I don't remember that. I know it just made him the happiest boy in the world. He just the best
what
birthday
a present
he ever got.
Yeah.
But then the next day then, I remember everything after that. It was just a horrible experience being in there. Don't get me wrong, they were so unbelievably good. The care that you're given in ICU is just fantastic. Them nurses are special people. They really, really are. But it was the scariest experience, and I was just getting so much anxiety being in there.
And that'll take you a while to shift that too. That'll stick with you for a good while to come, Lisa. I'm sure that you'll get over it, but that's a very traumatic experience.
Yeah. The only thing I really remember in ICU was I remember them phoning. They asked me, did I want to make a couple of phone calls, and they would hold the phone. And I remember them saying, would you like to ring your mum? And I thought, yeah, I would, because I know how scared she must have been. Mama's been through so much as it is in her life. And then, so we phoned her, and even the nurse brought the nurse to tears. Mama just got the shock of her life. She could not believe it was me on the other end of the phone. It was so emotional. The nurse was just so emotional, and Mama and Daddy couldn't believe it. It was a wild special moment, you know.
Unbelievable, because the truth is as well with the ventilating situation, I think, there's more people that go on ventilators come off them, but there's in medical terms, there's a very, very significant possibility in and around the 20-30%, depending on age and what have you, that you won't survive. So everyone around you and who loves you and knows you had to make some space in their mind to consider that, even if they didn't want to.
I know.
Did you feel then, right, I'm going to get home now. I've got through that. Like, what was the prognosis at that point for you?
No, I did. I knew I would get home then. I really did. I just said to myself, you know what? I couldn't believe that I was on a ventilator when they told me I was on a ventilator. No, I thought, well, I came through that. Now the rest is down to me. I am determined to fight this now. Everybody's been praying for me. Everybody's got me this far. Now I'm gonna get myself out of here. You know, and you just kept thinking on my boy.
I feel like playing the Rocky music in the background. You know what I mean? Just when you're having that sort of that awakening.
And everything. I begged them to let me, you know, be a little bit of my own independence in the hospital too. I knew that, you know, if they obviously let me work with you as well, I know I can do this. You know, let me fight this as well. So I was so determined to just get out of there.
And you did on Monday the 1st of December.
You know, I got home on Monday.
What was it like getting back into the house and your lovely family there waiting for you?
It was just the best feeling ever. That drive from Letterkenny, I thought was never going to end. But getting home and seeing the Buncrana sign, I thought I'd never see again. And then when I came into my street, some of my neighbours were standing out to wave to me, and then my family were just all there, and it was just so special. It was just amazing. So emotional, you know. Yeah. And nothing like seeing my husband and my boys, because I put them through the worry. My God, I can't even imagine. They were just so scared.
Yeah. And I mean, it is a journey. You're still on that journey. You're at home. Yeah. You're 8 days home. But as we heard from a couple of callers earlier on, you still have a journey. You still have to build yourself back up. Being in ICU and being prostate on a bed in and of itself takes some time to recover from, obviously being ventilated and then, of course, having to deal with the after effects of COVID. You do have a wee bit of a journey, but do you find an improvement daily or?
My voice is coming back more and more to itself each day. I'm still quite weak yet. Like, the things like the stairs, God, it's such a challenge to get up the stairs. My legs are so weak. By the time you get to the top, you're gasping for your breath. You're lying there all day, and you're mentally, that to me, mentally is going to be the biggest challenge. I'm just constantly thinking about everything that happened. And I'm so afraid of remembering what happened, the part that I don't remember. I'm so afraid that I will remember. people tell me I won't remember that, but...
But you have to be careful too, because when you're lying in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and the mind's racing, you don't want to start sticking what you imagine to be the experience into the sort of that memory hole either. You have to be concerned about that as well.
I know. It leads into panic attacks and stuff. I had one last night so out of the blue. I didn't know what was happening to me. I didn't know, should I ring 999? What do I do? I started to sweat. My heart was racing.
Yep, that's a panic attack, all right. Yeah.
And it was just a pure panic attack because they gave me breathing techniques and stuff to do if this did come on me. And I just couldn't believe how it just hit me so suddenly like that. I've never experienced anything like that before. You know, but I just wanted to say about Magella, who was on the show earlier, like the support Magella has given me while I was in hospital was unbelievable. She really helped me through, you know, helped me to stay strong. And just because she understood me and I understood her, it was massive support. And even Donal Bradley and Bun Crana, him and his wife too, gave me great support while I was in hospital. It just kept me going, you know, because there was days in the hospital when I got back to medical three in the ward myself that I was having breakdowns. I was, you know, losing my mind. I was really upset, and I was upset about the rumours people were saying about me, which I shouldn't have had to worry about while I was so sick. And just dealing with things like having to wear a claustrophobic bag, having tubes everywhere. I mean, things like this.
But the focus has to be on 99.99% of people who were there with you, backing you up 100%, you know what I mean? And there's always a noisy minority, and they are an absolute minority. So don't waste your brain space on that. I know myself, the outpouring of love and affection towards you far in and away shrivels down the other elements of it that you talk of. But we're human, and that's sometimes we focus on the negative even when there's so much positive. Yeah. I'm delighted to speak to you. I always knew we were going to have a chat for some reason. I don't know why. So it's great to speak to you. I know a lot of people out there will be delighted to hear what you've had to say. I mean, if you're on social media, you're still going to come across people saying this is just a flu. I don't want to labour the point, but I just wonder, from someone who's been through it and gone through it, do you get angry at that? Do you understand it more? Do you not pay any attention to it? Or what does the emotion be?
I try not to look at anything like that anymore, Greg, because it does annoy me, you know. And I know everybody's entitled to their own opinions and everything. And I know, like, so I had a brother who had it a while back, and he just had a mild flu with it, you know. My husband and my son had it, and they had absolutely nothing, zero symptoms, nothing. They were fine, you know. And then there's me, you know. So it is more than a flu to a lot of people, you know. And it's just something you don't want to get anyways, because there's also people who had it as a mild flu and then weeks later found it affecting them in other ways, you know. So this is something different, and this is real, and people just need to see that it is real, you know. And if we can take these simple precautions like a mask, you're sanitizing and stuff, you know, it will help.
And we're on the home straight now, you know. We're going to be, next year, things are going to be very different. Lisa, the prayers hadn't stopped, by the way. People messaging in saying they're still praying for you for a night's sleep, I think.
I know, and a full recovery,
which you'll get to. But people are still with you, so don't feel now that they've abandoned you. Now you're home.
No, it's amazing. And thank you so much to each and every single person, and to Letterkenny Hospital. I can't thank them enough. But the hospital gets such a hard time, and every member of staff, from the carrying the water to the dinner people, the ladies who clean the rooms, every nurse, every doctor have been amazing. I can't thank Letterkenny enough, you know. And every family member I have, I am so blessed to come from an amazing family. My husband, my kids, my sisters and brothers, my aunts, you know, everybody, my neighbours and my friends, I'm the wider community. I'm so blessed to have amazing people in my life, you know. And I'm so, and Greg, for you as well, to raise awareness of this, and for all the people, you know, that's been praying for me from your page and stuff. Thank you so, so much.